call the meeting back, and we will continue with a 11.1.6, and this is alternate procurement practices for electric vehicles. And okay, hello, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
The planning pointed to.
Planning Services and Engineering Department are in the process of procuring additional vehicles to replace an aging vehicle, the 2016 Ford Escape, and adding two additional vehicles to the existing fleet. These vehicles are being requested using funds from the proposed 2023-24 capital budget and will provide a vehicle for the newest building official. With the shortage of electric vehicles in the marketplace and the long delivery dates when ordering them, it is very difficult for staff to purchase new vehicles. Staff would typically purchase vehicles through the provincial standing offers. However, dealerships have not been providing prices for these requests. The time that takes to purchase through the purchasing and tendering policy, available vehicles likely would be sold by the time the completion of the process. Planning Services is currently down one vehicle due to a recent hire, and the 2016 Escape has been out of service several times this year due to repairs requiring staff to drive their own personal vehicles to job sites to perform inspections. Staff would like to expedite the process by buying the vehicles by submitting specification sheets to dealerships who currently have electric-type vehicles on their lots or are currently in transit. We use this process to purchase the Volvo and the Ford electric vehicles last year, which worked very well. Preference would be given to new or used electric all-wheel drive SUV or pickup type vehicles. Two vehicles will be used for inspection services, which will require all-wheel drive and suitable ground clearance. And the third vehicle will be for the engineering department, which would require all-wheel drive, ground clearance, and a cargo box. Also, because of the electric vehicles, we currently have only two charging ports in the fleet parking lot. If we purchase the additional vehicles for the municipal fleet, additional EV chargers will be required to be installed in the fleet parking area. To install an additional three dual chargers, that's six charging ports, the municipal fleet parking lot staff is budgeting $120,000 in the 2023-24 fiscal year. The EV chargers would be designated for the use of municipal fleet staff only. For the public or staff needing a charger of vehicle, there's the EV chargers in the public parking lot. Staff recommend giving pre-budget approval for the additional fleet EV chargers so engineering can get started on the project. There's budget implications, $115,000 pre-budget approval from the 2023-24 capital budget for the engineering department electric truck, $200,000 pre-budget approval for the 2023-24 capital budget for two planning services electric SUVs, and $120,000 pre-budget approval from the 2023-24 capital budget for three dual EV chargers in the fleet parking lot. Recommended motions, council grant pre-approval for the purchase of three electric vehicles, an electric truck for engineering department for $115,000 plus HST, and two electric SUVs for planning services at $100,000 plus HST each. Council authorized staff to use Section 19 of the Purchasing and Tendering Policy, Alternative Procurement Practice, and Securing Quotes from Vendors. Also, council authorized a CAO under Section 10 procurement value of more than $25,000 to make the procurement decision in the purchase of the electric vehicles for planning services and engineering department up to $115,000 plus HST each. Also, council grant pre-approval for the purchase of three dual charging stations in the amount of $120,000.
Thank you. and that was Graham Hopkins, our inspection services manager. I had to look at the paper before I got the title wrong. So I would ask Councillor Haysom if she would be prepared to move the question. Councillor Oigle.
Yes. I have just a few questions before we make the motions, if I may. So I'm certainly not against the having electric vehicles. My question mostly is on the dollar amount. Because according to our five-year capital investment plan from our 2021-22 approved budget, we had only $100,000 for two vehicles, and you're asking for $100,000 plus HST for one. We also had $80,000 for trucks, and you're asking for $115,000 for trucks. Also, I may as well just keep with this. We have presently four ports for with the chargers, because each charger has two ports. If we add three more, we're going to have 10 spots, but we're only going to have five vehicles at the end of 2023. So I'm just questioning the money value that is being asked here.
Our Director of Planning, Jeff Merrill.
Yeah, thanks. So in the budget, yeah, you're right, those numbers. We do have experience from last year. We know that the vehicles are just under $80,000 for the building inspection vehicles. We need the ground clearance and the four-wheel drive. Most of the times the building officials are on, the roads are fairly good on most days, but it's to get from the road to the construction site where it's usually rutted by construction vehicles. So we do need the ground clearance and the all-wheel drive. And we do have some pricing for an electric truck. I know we had budgeted $80,000. We have numbers. We have three options. And I think the lowest one was 96 was the lowest option at this time. And was there a third part that I missed?
The EV chargers.
Oh, yeah, the EV chargers. So that would be planning. Like, if we're going to do the work, we plan out for future years as well. So then as we continue, you'll see the capital budget will come in with new electric vehicles as we replace our gas vehicles. So this would build out that project would build out the chargers for our fleet, as opposed to having to come back every year or every other year to build out those fleet chargers.
Yeah. I will say that the cost of electric vehicles right now is definitely increasing. The timelines to be able to order or receive an electric or a hybrid vehicle is ridiculous. I actually was checking this week for one, and it's like 24 months if you order one until you actually receive it. So I understand the alternate procurement policy that we need to have in place for these if we're able to get our hands on any at all. But I was talking with a local dealer this morning, and they said they had two come in, but they wasn't off the truck, and they were gone. So the demand is definitely there, and we're going to see an increased demand for them. We still haven't seen an electric truck yet, have we, roll off from anyone? Are the Ford trucks available?
Yes, they're available.
Okay. So very, very difficult to get, and I don't believe the Tesla truck has ever materialized yet?
Not yet, no.
No.
Right now it's just the Ford F1 Lightning.
But I do know if people do their research on electric vehicles or hybrid vehicles right now, you will see where every dealership is looking to roll them out, but most of them by 24, 25. So we're ahead of the game. and we have a policy in place that says that we will replace our vehicles with electric vehicles when we do this. So we need to make sure the infrastructure is in place. And, yes, as far as putting in the charging stations, I think that, yeah, let's be proactive on this one and make sure that we do have the infrastructure in place, because we're probably going to have to add more than that. We have a new building official right now. My question after the preamble is, with the regional building services, will some of this be charged back to the other units when they're using our, or do they all have their own vehicles as they come into this? And how does that work with the charging of the service?
Yeah, so all under the regional, like, we don't have, our lawyers are working on the agreement, but when we get to the phase two, basically what will happen is all the costs and overhead will be, like, here's the number, and then there will be a model, funding model, where it says each unit is responsible for X amount of dollars of that. So
based on
we
usage.
Incur the cost, but then yeah. we are invoicing
so it's an overall
the partner
umbrella.
Units. Yes.
Yeah, where all the expenses would be and then charged back. That's what I thought. Councillor Moore.
So we do have regional building inspection. So if, say, you took the electric car and you was gone, or the truck, and you were gone all day, you had to go to Chester, then you had to come back to Mahone Bay, and then you had to go to, Chelsea, and your battery's almost dead when you get to Chelsea. Where are you going to charge to get back?
So our practice is that we're topping the electric vehicles up every evening. Mm-hmm. So when we get back at the end of the day, they're plugged in overnight. So we're leaving with a full charge. And the range, the vehicle range is such that, like, it hasn't been an issue. We have, what percentage at the end of the day on typically
it do we range, have? We don't always charge every night either, depending on how far we go. Mm-hmm. But we have not exceeded our charge by our travel distance by anywhere. It works very well for what we do. I think the maximum we've driven for work in the area here was 200 kilometers, and we typically have a capacity of over 300.
Okay.
So we haven't had that issue.
All right, thank you.
And most of the newer vehicles are coming now with closer to 500 kilometer range. Any further discussion? And if not, Councillor Statton.
Just, I have a question about the chargers. When you put the chargers in, will they have meters on them? And I know your officials that drive the vehicles usually have credit cards for gas. Now, do they not?
We have a swipe card for the electric chargers here.
Okay. So will these new chargers have the swipe card? And will they be recorded as to where they're going and how much electricity or what it costs to, say, bill back a neighboring municipality for the regional building services? Do we do that on a mileage basis, or we do that as a share of the services? How is that done?
Yeah, so the bill back would be a total, like, here's what it cost to charge the fleet for the building services, and it would, our partner units would get a invoice for their share of those total costs.
And is the share based on how many inspections you do, or how is the share based?
Yeah, so the agreement hasn't, so we don't have the agreement drafted just yet. We expect to have that soon, and we'll bring that forward. But the model, funding model that we're looking at would have a base charge, and then there's a uniform, part of it was on a uniform assessment charge. So it's not a straight fee, but we don't have we'll be bringing the funding model in the agreement to council in the near future.
Currently, right now, we charge, just if it was a gas vehicle, we charge per kilometer at the same rate as a gas vehicle. So if it's electric or gas, we still charge. So Bridgewater right now, if we were doing inspections in Bridgewater, they would get a bill at the end of the month for however many kilometers we drove at the provincial rate.
Okay. Okay, and I guess that's what I'm asking. Yeah. You track the kilometers used and bill accordingly. Is that the way? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. What Graham's saying is yes. That's how we do it now under the regional system. You know, we want to get away from the minutia of tracking. So it would be like, here's the total cost to provide the service, and then it gets divvied up. So it's less of that, hey, I drove 100 kilometers to Queens and back today and 150 tomorrow. It's here's the total cost to provide the services that we are providing. We also, under the regional plan, so not all the inspectors would be based out of our office. We would have satellite offices as well. For instance, the region of Queens would have an inspector based out of Queens, even though they would fall under the regional service. So they wouldn't be leaving from here every day.
Thank you.
Okay, I'd ask Councillor Haysom if she'd be prepared to move that first motion.
Certainly, to Her Honor Mayor Bolivar Getson and members of council, I move that Municipal Council grant pre-budget approval for the purchase of 3 electric vehicles, including an electric truck for the engineering department for $115,000 plus HST, and 2 electric SUVs for the planning department at $100,000 plus HST each, and I so move.
Moved by Councillor Haysom, seconded by Councillor Wynot, sorry. Discussion on the motion? Question called for. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. Councillor Vino, would you be prepared to move the second motion, please?
Certainly. Thank you. To Her Honor Mayor Bolivar Getson and members of council, I move that Municipal Council authorize staff to secure quotes from vendors pursuant to MODL Policy 033, Purchasing and Tendering Policy, Section 19, Alternative Procurement Practice, and I so move.
Moved by Councillor Vino. Is there a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Haysom. Discussion on the motion. Not all those in favor? Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. Move down to the third motion. Councillor DeLong, would you be prepared to move that?
Certainly, thank you. To Her Honor Mayor Bolivar Getson and members of council, I move that Municipal Council authorize the CAO to make the procurement decision pursuant to the MODL Policy 033, Purchasing and Tendering Policy, Section 10, Procurement Value, of more than $25,000 in the purchase of electric vehicles for the Planning Services and Engineering Department, up to $315,000 plus HST for all 3 vehicles. I so move.
Moved by Councillor DeLong. Is there a seconder? Seconded by Deputy Mayor Hubley. Discussion on the motion? Question called for. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. We'll move down to the fourth motion, and Deputy Mayor Hubley, would you be prepared to move that?
Yes, thank you. To Her Honor Mayor Bolivar Getson and members of council, the Municipal Council grant pre-budget approval for the purchase of 3 dual charging stations, 6 charging ports, in the amount of $120,000 plus HST, designated for use by municipal fleet vehicles only, and I so move.
Moved by Deputy Mayor Hubley, seconded by Councillor Vino. Discussion? Councillor Bell.
I just have a question on this charger. When these are not in use by a municipal vehicle, are they switched off at night so they're not visited by other individuals that might want to charge their vehicle? Just a question.
Yeah, so the ones in the fleet, you actually need either an app or, like, we also have access cards, so you have to swipe to unlock. So these ones would be fleet only, so they wouldn't be, like, the public wouldn't be able to get access to it, and they're not set up to do the billing because they're designated for the fleet. And at the end of the workday, our vehicles would be, that's where they would be parked and they would be plugged in. So there wouldn't, the public wouldn't be able to access these units.
Excellent answer. That's what I was looking for. Thank you.
Any further discussion on the motion? If not, all those in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. We will now move down to the updates, and I would ask for the LCLC update. And Councillor Stanton.
Thank you, and I thank Councillor Moore for bringing it to my attention. Okay.
I'm missing something, but go ahead, please.
This is the update for the LCLC meeting of January 19th, 2023. The meeting was brought to order by Chair David Mitchell. It was attended by Vice Chair Mayor Carolyn Bolivar-Getson. Attending were Councillor Tanner for the Town of Bridgewater, Councillor Moore for MODL, Councillor Stanton from MODL, Councillor Caldwell from Town of Bridgewater, Tammy Chowder, CEO from the Town of Bridgewater, and Recreation Director Trudy Payne, MODL, and General Manager Walsh. The meeting was called to order by the chair, and the note from the public asking for more signage needed for the parking lot and pedestrian safety was addressed. And Kent will check on what can be done to make the outside of the property safer for pedestrians and vehicle traffic. The public skate for 12 and under helmet requirement was under discussion, and it was held around a regional policy needed concerning helmets worn in our rinks, and the rinks in the district in particular, and that will be discussed at a recreation level for other area arena policies for consistency of practice. Councillor Tanner gave an update on strategy planning for the next 3 to 5 years, and it's not completed as of yet, and around $20 million he expects will be needed for expansion needs, and there's no decision on a plan to expand currently. A needs assessment may be needed to be carried out, whether plan should be regional, not just LCLC, and that's to be continued. And under new business, meetings will be held in the months of January, February, April, June, September, and November are at the call of the chair, and the new time for the meetings is going to be 5:30, and GM will update the governance policy on this issue. The membership as of January 2023 was 1,373 members, and a joint membership with YMCA will start in March 2023. Kent will check on the availability of liability insurance only to be included in owner municipalities' insurance policies to save dollars on insurance costs. The library rent is paid by the Town of Bridgewater, and the Town of Bridgewater is looking for discussion on shared rent, and that will be continued. Budgets were reviewed, and highlights... Highlights, it's the LCLC is now $120,000 over budget for the year as of now, and there's receivables in the area of $50,000. No final numbers are in for the para hockey tournament, but Kent estimates a profit of maybe $40,000. A 30-day pass to LCLC will be issued for the welcoming packages to new medical recruitment for medical frontline staff. This is an operational discretion and will be handled by the general manager. Updated event strategy will be presented in February for the coming year, and the next meeting will be Thursday, February 16th at 5:30. And I don't know what I've missed or what you need clarification on, but those are the highlights of the minute.
So I would like to just add a couple things to that, and 1,373 members. This is the highest membership that we have ever had at the LCLC. So that is great news to see. And I still believe that it's at a direct result of keeping the cost lower and affordable to our residents in our municipality. Also, the $20 million that was quoted, that was just a stab in the dark, I guess, Councillor Tanner reaching out to some other like facilities, and there has been absolutely no decisions made. That will be a council decision when that actually comes to that. But I believe the components that they were looking at were a second ice sheet, a gym. Was there one other? But again,
a stab in the dark.
But it definitely was just a stab in the dark at costs, and by no means ready to move forward with any decision on expanding. I guess just to that, I have also been approached by community members on a multi-purpose field, artificial turf. Again, a football-type field. There's a lot of things out there. As our community grows, our needs will increase. Our recreational needs will increase, as well as all our other needs, as we will see with infrastructure needs coming forward. So growth is good, but growth comes at a cost. Any questions in relation for Sandra for the LCLC report? If not, is there a Region 6 update? Councillor DeLong.
I'm going to say there's a mini update because I'm going from my notes and my memory as the minutes have not been released yet. So please take this with a grain of salt. This is my update for Region 6 meeting held December 2nd, 2022. The previous chair and vice chair both stood for re-election and were voted back in, one of whom was Wayne Thorburn from Bridgewater and the other of whom, I'm sorry, I can't remember. The 2022-2023 budget was presented and accepted. A discussion was had on construction and demolition regulation changes that were being introduced in a presentation. The most notable changes were that as of July 5th, 2023, treated wood will be banned from disposal at C&D facilities due to creosote leachate contamination and fire concerns. As well, the solid waste resource management regulations will require approvals for the facilities that process, transfer, and store C&D materials. Other topics covered in the meeting included an EPR summit and a submission made to the Sustainable Communities Challenge Fund involving waste management and circular economy. As well, we learned that Sustain Technologies received a Mobius Award for Innovator of the Year for its unique waste diversion solution, which prevents plastics from ending up in landfills. And finally, an update was given from Michael Ernst, or was submitted, rather, from Michael Ernst on ghost fishing gear. That's my report. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And, yes, the C&D in relation to treated wood definitely is going to take some research into being able to figure that one out, because there's a lot of treated wood out there. Deputy Mayor's update. Oh, sorry, Councillor Oikle.
I have a question regarding Region 6 update. Is there any progress, Councillor DeLong, regarding the paper? I forget the initials.
Extended producer responsibility.
Yes. EPR?
EPR. Yeah. Is there any progress regarding that?
Off the top of my head, no. The report that we were given was that she had attended a summit on extended producer responsibility. I will get back to you on that. Thank you.
Deputy Mayor's update.
So agenda briefings, the NSFM Zoom meeting regarding the organizational changes, REMO meeting, Deputy Mayor and Warden's meeting, and a variety show at Branch LaHave.
Okay, Mayor's update, NSFM meetings, the Mayor's Warden's meetings, CERMGAR, Service Exchange Municipal Government Act review, which hopefully, I'm hoping our part may be finished this week on this to for the government to take over and then to do what they're doing. Again, my role on there is advisory only. We do not get to make the decisions. This is government's decision at the end of the day. But there will be a traveling roadshow. They will be going out to the communities with this for input when it is here, probably in the next few months. LCLC, I met with residents, meeting with Susan Corkum Greek in relation to local issues, and just the everyday briefings and meetings in the office. So that concludes our regular agenda, and I would ask for a motion to go in camera. Moved by Councillor Wynot, seconded by Councillor Oikle. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.